From the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down from the mountain with the 12, and he stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all of Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry, you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and be glad on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. And woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way." The Gospel of the Lord. I find these scriptures engaging and fascinating for me. I have read chapter 6 in Luke's Gospel, which we have today for our Gospel text, multiple times over the years. But each time I read it, I am in a different place, and it speaks to me perhaps in a different manner. And that may well be true for each and every one of us. We're reading today from chapter 6 in Luke, and it's called the Sermon on the Plain. It's meant to be a parallel with Matthew's Gospel. You will remember the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew's Gospel, it begins in chapter 5, and it says, Jesus goes up onto the mountain, and he sits down, and he begins to teach. Of course, Matthew, being a Jewish gospel, wants to emphasize the mountain, because in the Hebrew tradition, God always appeared on the mountain. And Jesus sits down because the rabbi always sat when he was teaching. The origin of our teaching chair of Peter and the cathedral and words like that. So the rabbi always sat. Matthew, being Jewish gospel, has Jesus sitting down. Luke, however, a Gentile gospel, says Jesus is on the plain and he stands when he's teaching. Matthew's gospel has 107 verses in it. It's very long, chapter 5, 6, and 7. It has 9 Beatitudes, whereas Luke has only got 30 verses and has only 4 Beatitudes. But then Luke also has the woes, so we'll talk about that in a minute, the woes. Well, I've been thinking about this gospel and writing journals on it for 2 weeks now, because last Sunday we didn't have any preaching. We had together in Mission Sunday, so I got a free Sunday. So I'm kind of looking at this gospel for a couple of weeks and writing my journals on it. See, what does this gospel really say to me today? What might it say to you in your life today? It deals with poverty. It said, blessed are those who are poor. What would that mean to us today? The poverty of conflict. Do you have conflict in your life? Do you have conflict in your family? Or where you work? Or among your friends? In your community? That's a poverty. The poverty of misunderstanding. I feel misunderstood, I feel separated, somehow set aside, unappreciated. That's poverty. Have you ever felt the poverty of rejection? If somebody set you aside, didn't include you, you weren't invited. How about the poverty of failure or the poverty of being in sin? And there's a poverty of fear. And we live in a church now which is struggling with credibility, very important core issues. It's a poor church, a church caught in conflict and uncertainty, bewildered by what's happening around for many of us. So how is it that we could say all of these conditions which we might experience as poverty, that these are blessed? How could we say in these times we are blessed? Well, I was reflecting over the years of my life when I prayed over this gospel. I was reflecting all the times that I knelt down before a patient and compassionate priest confessor to confess my sins, the poverty of my sins, my failures, the conflicts of my life. And I experienced the infinite, unconditional, healing love of God. And I was blessed. In my poverty, I discovered the true God. We are all somehow bewildered in the church these days. We're confused. I am uncertain about many things. We live in a certain confusion, discouragement in the church. And it draws me back to the Eucharist. Not the institution, the Eucharist. It makes me renew my faith in saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. My salvation is in the power of Jesus Christ. The institution of the church merely carries the message of Jesus Christ, imperfectly, but carries the message. But the Eucharist being the center of my life, I am driven back to the Eucharist in these times of confusion, uncertainty, or bewilderment. And I am blessed. When I reflected on my failures in life, it reminded me, don't make judgments about people. Don't underscore and emphasize human weakness. God meets us in our human weakness. You will never meet the true God on the mountain of success or the mountain of prosperity. That's not where the true God dwells. True God dwells in our humanity. In our failures, they're moments of blessing because they remind us not to make judgments about others. And the times when I encountered loneliness or separation in my life, I was blessed. Don't ever exclude anyone for any reason. Never exclude people. I learned that when I myself felt somewhat uncertain and excluded, and I was blessed. I belong to a prayer group of priests for more than 30 years, 7 of us. We meet every month for a day of prayer. It's a safe place. It's a safe place. We can be fully human. We'll share a gospel of God's presence among us in our humanity. And in all the years we've been together, we share our weakness as much as we share any success. And God is present. Makes God present. Makes us aware of who the true God is. Joan Chittister, in her book, Scarred by Struggles, Transformed by Hope, marvelous book on the humanity of a spiritual journey. She says, everybody, sometime in life, has encountered a desert experience. The poverty, the emptiness, the conflict, the struggle in life, the disappointment in life, unfulfilled expectations, whatever it is. She proposes that everybody will have an experience like that at least once in your life, where you decide at a threshold whether you're giving up or growing stronger, and that will be a decision. You make a decision that comes from deep inside of you, the strength of who you are. And when you do that, you are blessed. And the word says, woe to those who have not had this experience. They won't know God. Woe to those who do not know what it is to ask for forgiveness. Woe to those who do not know their own weakness, their own poverty, their own sins. You cannot meet the true God. In our culture, in our society, we are very impressed by powerful people. I mean, in the magazines and so forth, whether it's in entertainment or in sports or in politics or whatever, we're very impressed by powerful people. They tell us how we should dress. They tell us how we should live. They tell us what's in and what's not in. And in some ways, we're all slaves to being impressed in this culture of importance. But we're not inspired. We're inspired by people who struggle. We're inspired by people who have courage. We're inspired by people who witness faith, even in times of great darkness. These are the people that inspire us. I am inspired in the church by the victims of clergy abuse that stay in the church. My, wow, it's amazing. They inspire me. I'm inspired by LGBT people when the official church says you are morally disordered and they say, I know, but I belong. Will you find a place for me? I am inspired by their courage, by their tenacity, by their desire to belong to a broken community and make a contribution toward making God present in our humanity. I am inspired by people in second marriages who struggle to say, I have listened to the stories and I have shared the tears of people who say, I want to belong to the Eucharist. I hunger for the Eucharist. It's inspiring. Last night I was sitting in my chapel there in the quiet evening, and somehow it came to me. I write journals all the time, write journals. Began to reflect on people who yearn and yearn for something. I remembered in my own life, and maybe you remember in your life, well, it was something really, really important that you wanted. It was defining your life. It was something that you had dreamed about, you hoped for, and you did a novena. You prayed for it. You asked God to give you what you most needed in this petition. You even asked your friends to pray for it, whatever it was. And you yearned for it. And your friends prayed with you, and you hoped that God would bless you. I was reflecting on that last night. And it crossed my mind about the people down at the border. Whatever you think about the border, there's a lot of opinion about the border. But I'm talking about the live people that are down there. Who among us has ever walked 1,000 miles and more under enormously difficult circumstances and sacrificed and hoped and prayed and dreamt for a better life? Whatever you think about the border, I began to reflect on the inspiration of people who will make sacrifices, who will walk long distances to try to claim, pray, ask God to give them a better life for their children. Just to reflect on that kind of sacrifice, I think it's inspiring. So think about the person in your life who has sustained you, the one who has forgiven you, the one who has been patient with you, the one who was faithful to you, especially in your time of imperfection or failure, the one who stood with you. That's what the gospel is about. Blessed are those who are poor. Think about the people in your life that in God's providence are sent to you. Meet them in their poverty, meet them in their confusion and their emptiness and their struggles in life, and say, where we meet is a holy place. It's a holy place because here there is love. And that's where God dwells. So I began to find this gospel very meaningful in my own life. I want you to take the word of God and enflesh it into your own family, into your own journey of life. Read the landscape of your experience, the landscape of life, with the eyes of faith, remembering that in the difficult moments of life, take a second look, and the word of God will say, you are blessed. Amen.